B-Pod Studios.
How much does it mean to you to win another Super Bowl title and on top of it to be the most valuable player?
Brady throws down the middle. Open, Edelman. Slide. Edelman wide open. Makes the catch at the 5. Edelman makes the catch on the run. Edelman wide open at the 40. Turns to the 35. A stutter step to the 30. Angling right out of bounds. First down, Patriots.
Congratulations to Super Bowl MVP Julian Edelman from the home of the Pats. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whoa, I'm burning the color of your energy. Whoa, I'm burning the color of your energy.
311 is not good band. A licky boom boom down.
Playing the pie tasters. It's a bad day. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Take it easy. Billy Jaffe works for Destin. He will be at the game this evening. He will be braving the weather.
Yep.
You were the color in the booth last night, right? Yep. For the bean pot?
Last few years now, bean pot. Mm-hmm. Love it.
John, he said you did a good job, but very frustrated at the length of a replay.
Yes.
Frustrated or excited to get the decision? Because this was the only time, Wallach, that I actually was okay with the length of the replay because
it
was so hard.
The length of the replay.
Well, if you knew some of the details.
Billy?
I know. Well, there was an issue with the monitor in college hockey. They don't have the tablets like they do at the NHL. They have a monitor in the TV, in the penalty box area. They had issued that went out.
Mm-hmm.
So now then they had to work with the people up top, the replay officials, that are giving them blow-by-blow of what's happening. Here's the thing. The call on the ice was this. Long story short, because this isn't TV, this is radio, we'll describe it. Player goes into the net, or the puck goes into the net, crosses the line, but simultaneously to puck net being moved off its pegs. But the question was the net fully off its pegs, which that has to be in the college rule book. It's not considered off its moorings until it's fully off. So even if it's lifted, but there's still peg that's touching it, that's right. Not considered off.
After the first few minutes, I really didn't care.
How much does Jerry York make, do you think?
A lot.
Like, you're talking about seven figures?
I'd guess he's, yeah.
Wow, really?
I'd guess he's there.
All right, so how many hockey coaches, like how many programs, college hockey coaches, do you think make seven figures? Is it a coach at Michigan make seven figures?
No, because he's a newer, well, he came back there to coach after Red Berenson and just retired. Here's the thing about college coaching, it's, and hockey, I can't speak to the basketball or football where we know they're all making, like $2 billion a year. And in hockey, they're doing, they get their money, their salary, they get their some type of bonuses. They also then... There's some of these guys, not all, some of them or a lot of them have like a hockey school type of clause in their contract where their name is on it. They may quote unquote run it, but then they have other people do it. It's their name. They get money from that. They may get money from, what these endorsements, that's not endorsement. What's the term? These are contract, the clothing, it's not equipment type.
Jerry York's leather vest.
No. What I'm saying is, what does BC wear? I don't know if it's Adidas or Nike, whatever.
Right. The endorsement deals, yeah.
Yeah, so the schools have them, and he probably gets a portion of that. There's a few guys that maybe up in the seven. Jerry would be, he's the longest term guy. He's the granddad of them all. A lot of guys are in the mid six to upper six, the top schools.
All right.
North Dakota's, Minnesota's. Minnesota, there's Denver. Denver, although they've got a new coach there too, Fred. So he's 29 years old.
Aye, aye, aye. 29.
Head coach.
All these guys are becoming youngins. All right. So, first of all, Cassidy was talking about the trade deadline and he started rhapsodizing about, I can't remember.
If he had Harry Potter's magic wand, did he use that term?
Yeah.
If I had Harry Potter's magic wand, I would know who to trade for.
Who was he rhapsodizing
about? Artemi Panarin, the bread man.
Okay, so first of all, are you allowed to do that? It's refreshing that Cassidy does that, but.
Bruce is great with the media. Is he allowed to? Yeah,
that's not tampering.
No, he's just saying. He said, "Look, I'm kidding. I've thought about different players. I mean, maybe he got a, I wouldn't say a smack, but maybe he got a tap of, hey, we can't talk about him. You can't use somebody else's name. But on the other hand, I mean, we can also be realistic and say this is the real world and you're allowed to BS. I mean, and you know, I mean, this is legit. He's like, look, I'm kidding. You know what I'm talking about? I've thought about other players. Sure. The names are out there. Everybody's writing about it. So he's just feeding off of that.
Is there a chance they don't make a move?
Sure.
Because
I don't think they won't. I don't think that will happen. They need a spark. They need something.
Are they screwed if they don't make a move?
I think that they're limited if they don't.
I think regardless with Tampa Bay and their division kind of limits the enthusiasm here.
Well, what happens if you end up in the wild card and you don't have to go through Tampa?
Well, I mean, are you saying deliberately lose to put yourself down in the standings?
Not saying that at all, Wallach, so don't go there with me. What I'm saying is don't.
That's
don't.
What I heard.
Come over there and I'll whack you. Well, listen, what I'm saying
you're
is...
You're sitting next to Captain Controversy. Well, you don't know that.
That's right.
What I'm saying is that if you know you want to play the hypothetical game, which we're allowed... It was what we do here on radio.
That's all I'm doing.
If they don't make a move and they don't win as much, that isn't losing on purpose. No, I would never say lose on purpose, especially heading into the playoffs. I think you screw yourself.
All right, so, but they got to, they're going to make a move because yeah, you're going to whack them and then screw yourself. All right, so.
Yes, I'd be shocked.
No, they will because if nothing else, third line help, and that's available. And I mean, that can't, you can't.
See, to me, that is still the more significant move.
Right, because right now, it's 5-on-5, they're terrible in the league in terms of scoring. So, basically, if you're not in the power player, it's not your first line, has been the story. I mean, they're anemic when it comes to 5-on-5 play. So, even if you could just fill out the third line, you know, you would hope that allows you to move some pieces around, and then you could get some sort of 5-on-5 game going. Because at that rate of scoring, you're not going to win in the playoffs.
No, we saw last year one line get shut down. And, well, look, David Krejci's having a fantastic year. He's paced for 64 points,
yeah,
which would be a third highest total ever as an NHLer. And he's doing it with a plethora, a complete posse of wingers, right, all year. I think it's 10 or 11 different guys that he's had flank him.
Wow.
So I don't know if he gets enough credit for it. A lot of people want to, you know, always talk about the amount of money he's making. Again, you, me, everybody, and everybody listening in this room would never say no to a contract like that. Not right. His fault.
Sure.
And I think that here's the thing. I love what they've been doing the last couple of games with Pasta, with Krejci. Give me the pairs. Marchand, Bergeron, Krejci, Pasta. Now I think you've set yourself up for balanced up front. Get Jake DeBrus going. Please get him going, you know? Get him going. If he gets going, now
you got... What's wrong there? Why the slump?
I fully believe right now it's in his head.
Oh, so you think it's completely mental?
I think, I mean, unless something... I haven't heard any injury thing. Look, they're not gonna... Nobody's going to tell him. Look, there's nothing significant he wouldn't be playing if it was...
I mean, just by watching him play, you
to
haven't
me,
noticed
not getting,
anything.
He's not... He came out of the break, or coming off the break after he'd been injured, and he had jump, and he had interior play, and he had puck touches. He was playing powerful. Now he's not touching the puck as much, and he's not driving it to the net as much. And I think he did the last... Over the weekend, we saw a couple of signs of goodness there.
Sure.
We need to see more of that. Got to get his confidence going. He's been moved down. And this is a move by Bruce and his staff, and they've done a really good job of handling players. They have done a really good job of that. And this is because they're saying to him, look, Jake, we love you. We're not taking you out of the lineup.
Yeah.
We love you. You got to earn it. Mm-hmm. And you got to get back there. A little kick in the you-know-what isn't so bad.
Well, there's a good chance DeBrusk is calling us in just a matter of moments. So
good.
Jaffe can sit there and tack the man to his face.
Oh, stop. No, you and Wallach and...
Rich?
That's right. Me and Wallach. Mm-hmm.
Rich
right.
hasn't done
We're
it yet.
We're all over you.
We're double trouble.
It's only a matter of time, no?
We're double trouble.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Don't worry about us.
The toxic twins.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're going to record what you just said, and they're going to play it back for him as that's we come right. back from the break. Boom. That's how they.
I love it. Hey, Jake is a realist, Matt. He's an outstanding kid.
He's great.
Don't try he's been awesome.
Walk it back now.
He is out, I'm not show walking it back. I'll walk over there and kick your ass. That's what I'll do.
Now we've gone from being whacked I mean, to getting
that'll
my ass kicked.
That'll get the Twitch numbers up. Let's do it.
Because we're moving on here.
Twitch.tv, search the sports hub, and you'll see Billy Jaffe kicking an Eagle's ass.
How you doing, Billy? All right? You look a little tired. Okay?
I'm fired up today.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Wallet. Going down. The toxic twins, Steven Tyler and Joe Barry.
Oh, God.
Can't
listen,
down.
If they can get him going, we're seeing Heinen the last couple of games, two or three games does not make a season. I'm not going there, but I think they up top. I think you can put together five, six guys
mm-hmm.
if you balance them out. Go with it for five, six games. The pairs, right? get some guys going. We'll call them the fourth line. We know they're playing third line minutes, Crowley, Wagner, Achari. They were excellent the last couple. They did their job beautifully against the top line of Colorado the other day. But there's that kind of that black hole of the third line that has to be addressed.
Right.
We talked about it September.
We've been talking
when
about
when I started
it since
coming on the show.
We knew before the season that was going to be an issue. All right. Maybe Jake DeBrusk.
Hope
and,
so.
Billy Jaffe butt heads a little bit.
Oh, stop.
Coming up.
Next in line.
A very contentious relationship between the two of them. If not, Billy Jaffe here, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Games are only half of it.
Mavs, you loser.
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
This generation rules the nation with the version. Boom, boom, biddy, diddy, boom. Boom, 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 biddy, diddy, boom, boom, boom. Pass the Ducci on the left-hand side. 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 I was negative 13 when this song came out.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We just had our Pucks for Paddles event last Thursday night. Raised $119,000 for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children, also for the Boston Bruins Foundation. I will tell you this. Jake DeBrusk, one of the nicer athletes I've ever met.
He's fantastic. He grew up in a pro home, you know, with his dad, Louie.
How did he do in the tournament? How far did he get?
I don't know.
I don't know, but he's nice to my kids. And that's all I care about.
He's nice to every kid. I've never seen him be bad to a kid.
Yeah, he joins us on the Volks. Well, I what are you adding that on for?
Because why are you saying he's nice to your kids? Of course.
Because that's the only experience. Mm-hmm. What a dumbass. What a dumb thing to say.
Billy,
I've never seen him bad to a kid.
Fine, I understand that.
All right, let's go talk to him.
But by saying he was nice to my kids.
Jake, have you ever been bad to a kid before?
He's still a kid.
No, I don't think so.
All right, by the way, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Is Jaffe getting in the way?
Jay, do you like when I compliment you and say something nice and Jaffe turns it around into some sort of obtuse insult?
I'll take the compliment, but I don't know what the insult
was. Yeah, I don't know what the insult was.
You turned it into an insult by saying he's nice to everybody.
Meaning, it's his upbringing. That's how he is.
No, what you said, Billy, is that your kid isn't special.
That's right.
You know what?
You're right.
That's what I heard.
You're right. I did.
That's all I heard.
Right. Somewhere they're weeping. But Jake, thank you so much for participating in the event. You were great.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was lots of fun. Obviously, raised a lot of money and put the headbands on and have some fun, play some ping pong. I got to the, I think that's the third round, to be honest with you, a pretty early exit. So I was a little disappointed in that, but I had a great time, and I hope everyone did as well.
Were you kind of confused with how the whole thing ended, with that guy with the Sarge Suck sign winning the entire thing?
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on there. I didn't know if it was rigged or what, but that was interesting. It was a pretty good final. I think Rizzy was in there too. I was actually surprised because usually it's passed or crouched one of those two guys, right? They're probably the best guys on our team for ping pong. So it was nice to see a different look at the finals, I guess.
Yeah, yes. No one would make... I was trying to get someone on your team to make fun of how tiny Grizzlick is, but no one would do it.
No, I'm already in trouble with Wags from the gross comment, so I don't know if I can say anything else.
Oh, last time Jake DeBrusk was on, he said that Wagner was the grossest guy on the team. So yeah. can you tell... So he got mad at you?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I don't know how he found out. Obviously, I didn't tell him I said that, but he didn't talk to me for like a week, so he took it pretty seriously.
Maybe you're lucky.
Well, seeing that he already hates you, you want to kind of tell us a little bit more about how gross he is?
Yeah, Grizzy, sorry,
I guess, hey, whatever you want to spill it. Yes, that guy won. It was like a ringer. Yeah, he was hired by, there was someone who wasn't a fan of Mark Bertrand's. Mark Bertrand, who works at the station, said he needed to leave early. So this guy hired a ringer and won the auction so that there was no way that Bertrand would be able to leave to take him to the end. But that guy ended up beating Pasternak, who was the champion last year. It just seemed like he could not be defeated. And so I was looking around when that whole thing was going on. I'm like, do any of these Bruins have any idea what the hell's happening?
Of course not. I played the first round and lost again. We couldn't figure out the rules. The rules of ping pong are very difficult.
Yeah, they're different. I mean, every ping pong game is different. But yeah, the rules, I didn't even know the rules past the third game. The refs were, stripes are a little hurting. I mean, I was trying to figure it out, but I don't know.
Yeah,
we weren't really getting any calls, so I mean,
in the beginning, there wasn't like refs at every table, so we were playing against Krug, and I just assumed they won.
Or you just wanted to stop.
Well, no, I didn't. I don't mind playing ping pong. What's the big deal? I got nothing else to do now. As if we don't have to do anything. I just talked. I wanted to make fun of Grizzly's size, and I wanted to talk about how old the guy he was playing with was. That's all I wanted to do.
That's all you wanted.
And that's what I got.
I can't go in the doghouse anymore with the boys, all right? I'm sorry. I don't know. Grizzly does have some... I mean, I think he's still growing, so he might have a chance. I don't know.
Well, he's a strong individual, but every time I see an athlete that's that much smaller than me... And by the way, I probably weigh 100 pounds more than him in fat, and he is probably 0% body fat. But every time I see someone that's that much smaller than me, I get very excited.
There's still a chance?
Yeah, right? Yeah. If I started skating today learned... I could make it before I was 50. Yeah. All right. Billy Jaffe's in studio, and Jake, right before you called, he was attacking you as a person and a player.
He's saying you hated kids. Yeah.
Billy, you...
I'll tell you what I said.
Okay, go ahead.
How about, Jake, they asked if something was wrong with you, meaning, because, you know, you haven't been scoring as much. And I said, I think it's a bit in your head. I don't think there's anything wrong physically, and I think that when you're used to scoring like goal scorers are, sometimes it can be a confidence thing, and that's what I said. And so I'll ask you this: have you been battling confidence on the ice at times?
At times, yes. I think that anytime, obviously, this league's tough for that, right? I mean, it's not really a league that you gain too much confidence in. Like you said, when you're scoring goals and things are going well, you're pretty much top of the world. And then when it's vice versa, you know, for me, I think it's the longest slump I've had for scoring a goal, I think, in my life, to be honest with you. So it's kind of one of those things where, like you said, sometimes it kind of creeps in your head, but I also understand that, too. You got to have confidence in yourself no matter what, and that belief that you will score. But, I'm physically fine. It's just more so mental battle, which it always is in every game.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but is there something that you try to do to get your head out of that spot, to break your slump? Or is there any kind of thing in the past has worked for you to kind of clear your mind and get back to what you were?
Yeah, there's some reset buttons that you try to hit, and whether it's you get angry before the game or different things where you just try different looks. I think even sometimes take different paths to the rink. Obviously, we're routine based, so it's kind of one of those things where you start questioning that, but I think it's just a matter of just going out and executing. I think I've gotten some looks and that I normally would, and it just hasn't been going in. And, it's obviously something that you don't want to think too much about. And we've been winning as of late as well and getting points. So, I mean, it's been a good time to be around the rink. It's just a matter of personally trying to find my game again and, scoring some goals. I can't wait to celebrate again, that's for sure.
Well, if you need to get angry, we'll just make a copy of what Billy said before you came on, and you can listen to
he's couching
before
it.
You go on the ice. Worse.
With friends like these, who needs enemies, Jake, right?
Send me the audio clip to that.
I'll get your mom.
All right, you're gonna get a hat trick. Very nice game. All right, so this was a weird week. Not weird, it was a great week because it celebrated Patrice Bergeron and his 1,000 games, and we've kind of talked about this with you before, but when Brad Marchand was asked, somebody said, is the first word you think of when you think of Patrice Bergeron, is it pro? Brad goes up to the next level and goes, no, I believe the word is God.
Blasphemy. Hockey God.
At some point, does everyone kind of step back and go, all right, enough of the tongue bath, let's move on. As great as Patrice is, it's been like a week now. Does everyone kind of start to feel weird after a while?
No, not really, to be honest. I mean, it's obviously special for him and special for, us to be a part of, obviously 1,000 games and just the week that he's having right now. I mean, obviously, Bergie is a great guy off the ice first off. And, we all as young guys want to be like Marchie and Bergie and those guys that have won, had success in this league for that long. And, I love it. I think he should do it every game because he scores. I literally was like, I think for his 1,000th game, I was like, I bet $100 that he scores tonight. He's money. Whenever something happens with him, or he's a spotlight guy or something for Berge, he always scores. He's always one of those guys. So, hey, we can keep doing it. I don't mind it at all, because when he's going, we're a way better team.
I mean, I got to think that, you know, being around a guy like Patrice Bergeron, who's obviously been doing it this long and has been so successful, certain things that he does in the locker room probably rub off on the people around him. Is there anything you've learned from him that has helped you not only as a player, but also kind of how to conduct yourself as a hockey player?
To be honest, a lot, yeah. I don't know if there's necessarily one thing, but just kind of like you said, how he kind of conducts himself day to day, what his routines are, how he practices and works out, and just kind of things too. He's helped me out with some spots in Boston, some bare spots here and there. And, you know, obviously when I had some injuries last year, we were injured at the same time, and he was really, really big for me coming back. So that was probably the biggest thing that I learned, was just how much he actually knows and how much he cares about the boys. I mean, he cares about our teammates, and he's a really great leader for our team, and obviously someone that we all want to be like. And I actually agree with Marsh in the God comment, so I'm sorry. But
he's a hockey god. He's up there.
Yeah. That's pretty true.
Jake, is he ever he's always composed, but that's publicly. Do you ever see him angry in the room? Has he ever, you know, I know he speaks. I know he's vocal, but does he ever get angry? Is he always as composed as we see him publicly?
Honestly, very rarely. Very rarely Berge will kind of, you know, get mad or, you know, kind of lose it in a way. But every time that happens, it's deservingly. Mm-hmm. And we all listen. It's one of those things where you kind of perk up and you're like, whoa, and you try to respond for him. And he's got a little bit of that French accent when it comes out too. So it's you know it. You know when it's coming. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, God. You never want to make Berge mad. So it's one of those things that you just try to respond, and usually we do. I think that's the same thing with Z. Z's kind of similar as well. He doesn't.
Yeah.
I think Berge might be a little more vocal, but when Z talks, everyone listens, and that's a great thing about our team, is that we have multiple leaders that can do that.
All right, Jake DeBrusque. Usually, when you have the interview, things start going well for you, so we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have your mom. What about some cherry cheesecake, Jake? Would that help?
Yeah. Wait, anyway, your friends.
That would definitely help. A little cherry cheesecake.
Yes.
It's one of those right now. That's always good luck.
All right, Jake DeBrusque, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, see you, man.
Appreciate it. There you go.
He goes home and eats a whole cherry cheesecake his mom makes for him all the time in Edmonton.
He eats it all at once?
I think so. Well, I don't know about once, but he says that's his go-to, you know.
Slump buster.
Yeah, or just, you know, non-health food type thing. You know, that's
sure.
He loves it. That's his comfort.
How old is he?
22?
He doesn't have to worry about what he eats.
Did he get the most money out of anyone? Because I know for a while he was leading as far as the donations for Bucks and Battles. Like, he was ahead of Bergeron. He was ahead of Chara. Now,
his personality
is
what is really, you know, what makes him. I mean, he is so every day. One of those kids, smile on his face every day. Hey, how you doing? He's kind of bouncing around. And he even if he doesn't know you, he has that innate ability to make you feel good because he just smiles at you.
Who went for the most? Was Bergeron?
Pasternak, almost 3,500.
Oh, gee, wow! Those things in the last day went through the roof.
Yeah.
Pasta's another guy with that kind of was 2,500. Person.
How much did Grizzly go for? Because right,
I'm going to have to look. I got to go down on the list. Hang on a second. I got to find it. 1,250.
Okay.
Grizz is what a kid. I'm telling you. All kidding aside, I don't know, we're getting out of here, but for the guy his size. And how he wasn't supposed to play in the NHL a couple of years ago, only because even though he's a draft pick out of BU and everything, it was, you know, can they really have two defensemen? And it shows, A, how the game has changed, and B, how much he has taken it to the next level. The gap control, the defending with his feet, with his stick. Now, he hasn't played the last couple of games, lower body, very minor. Don't know if he'll be in tonight or not yet. You know, practice isn't until 11 o'clock. But what a way he's turned his career. I mean, really turned it into a nice career.
Well, you talk about size. The first time we met Torrey Krug, remember, it was right before Pucks and Paddles or at the time Cuts for a Cause.
He had his Vans on. He's like 5'7". We thought he was an intern.
He had just got traded intern. I'm not kidding you. We thought he was an intern. We thought he was somebody who worked for the station. And
long hair.
And now look at him.
Yeah. Okay. He was like 22 years old. And we thought he was someone who worked for the team. All right, Billy Jackson.
Blackhawks in town. 7 games in a row they've won, Fred.
Yep.
All right, so catch that tonight on NESN.
6 o'clock coverage starts. Thanks, guys.
And we appreciate it, Billy Jaffe on television tonight. Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we get to?
Take a guess what city has the worst traffic in America. On top of that, we got the latest on what's going down with the pitchers and catchers and who should replace Ben Affleck as Batman.
All right, we'll have all that for you. Here are the headlines.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Hey, congratulations, Boston. You have the worst gridlock in the United States.
According to whom? And worse than L.A.?
Wow. Yep. As a matter, well, it says, okay, so this is from the Boston Globe. They say they have the worst rush hour traffic in the country, and you can now back it up with numbers. Gridlock during the peak of the morning and evening commutes were worse in Boston in 2018 than in any other major metropolitan area, even Los Angeles, who has infamously the worst traffic, according to a report from INRIX, which is a transportation data firm, which has all these different rankings and congestion around the world. Quote, "We like beating L.A., but not necessarily in this category."
Hey, said Jokester
from the Boston Chamber of Commerce, adding that officials must consider new transportation projects to solve the problem. It demands attention. Now, when I hear stories like this, I can't help but just think back to when we were in Atlanta and the colossal waste of money that they came up with building an entire second highway that went 40 miles like north of the city to the city that you could pay like $2 to drive on during rush hour that was one lane. So instead of having public transportation that went up there, they paid that much money to build a second highway that went on top of the regular one that one car at a time could drive through. Essentially, because they didn't want certain elements coming out to the suburbs.
Well,
down
it sounds
there.
Like a complete that lane is no bueno. That's not something that I would enjoy. One lane, super bridge that goes on for miles and miles and miles.
I'm not joking. If when you're on it and driving past it, there's a point where it's 10 stories above the regular road, and it's just you driving in one lane, looking down. I mean, talk about like getting agoraphobia while you're up there.
Absolutely.
Or agoraphobia, whatever it's called.
Agoraphobia.
Okay. Or whatever it is. The fear of heights.
What was it?
Agoraphobia is
acrophobia.
A fear of open spaces.
Agoraphobia is going outside, right?
Fear of open spaces.
Acrophobia is heights, correct?
Acrophobia, yes.
Okay.
I'm your go-to for any phobia. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, wasn't the Big Dig and the Ted Williams Tunnel, weren't that all supposed to alleviate this problem?
Why does 93 south of the city always bad? It almost doesn't matter what time of the day it is.
It's a rite of passage,
it's
honestly.
Always
God.
Bad.
Seriously. And it's always bad going into that tunnel. Always bad going into the tunnel. I thought they knocked down the artery and put a tunnel underneath the city to alleviate these, or at least in part, to alleviate some of this traffic problem and get people to take the Ted Williams Tunnel to go out to the airport to get that kind of traffic away from downtown. And here we are. After billions and billions of dollars were spent, we're still the worst traffic city in the country. That's awesome.
And it's got to also be, because the side road traffic here is the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like the off-highway traffic, because this place was built for, when people's lifespan was an average of 20 years.
Yeah. No, it's a huge city smashed up against the coast with one-way streets going everywhere.
Right.
Sure.
And so, in Newton, like, nothing is 5 minutes away.
Oh, sure.
Everything is 20 minutes away.
It's also like, let's say you ever have to go to a place like Salem or Marblehead. Like, there's no highway that goes right to Like, you have to take those side roads.
Yep.
And it's like stoplight, traffic, stoplight. And it's an absolute nightmare. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's a cluster F everywhere you go. But the mystery of 93 south of the city, either A, always being under construction, and B, always being jam-packed no matter what time of the day it is,
trying to get to that Golden Palace called Quincy, Mass.
One thing I'll say about Detroit is that it was completely designed for automobiles. So it's a grid system that's, 35 mile, and it's a grid system. They have left-hand turn lanes where there's two lanes, then a left-hand turn lane. Yep. Then on the other side, there's a left-hand turn lane and two lanes. And then
the green arrow goes first. So you go,
and it makes it work.
Then everyone leaves, and then you go straight.
It's like Detroit, it's like my friend Jay lives in, it doesn't matter, Huntington Woods. But say that's 12 miles from Detroit. Before Monday Night Football, he goes, I'll see you there in 15 minutes. He was there in 15 minutes.
Mm. Wow.
He went 12 miles down the lodge and then on to Woodward and then got there.
There's no way in hell that would ever happen. You can't get 15 minutes. You barely get out of your driveway in 15 minutes.
In 15 minutes in Newton, I can go 3 miles.
Yeah, you can cross over Route 9.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
On Route 9 at Parker.
Like, I have to talk to my, I have to talk to my, I can't, no, because I live right there. I have to get to, like Newtonville.
Yeah.
That's 3 miles.
Yep.
I have to leave 20 minutes before the thing my daughter has there. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
Well, the Grammys were this past weekend. I haven't seen the ratings. They couldn't have been that good. But the one thing that most people are talking about the Grammys had nothing to do with the actual show itself. No, it was the brand new trailer that was debuted for the live action Aladdin movie.
Yes.
Have any of you seen what's come out of this?
Okay. It reminds me of the live action Pinocchio that frightened me so much when I was a child.
So the opening of it, it looks good enough. You know, Disney had the big majestic music. There's these big set pieces and you see a guy outside of a cave and it says Aladdin. And then in the last 3 seconds of the trailer, the lamp is rubbed and the genie comes out and boom, it's a giant blue Will Smith. And it looks horribly awkward. I mean, he looks like Shrek painted blue.
Yeah, it's not, no one's going to see it.
Well,
it's that kind of creepy that haunts you your whole life.
It's the one thing that ruined what could have been a pretty decent concept, but it's just so egregious because he's the main character. People are going to go, yeah,
no, I don't think I'm going to. Especially if you've seen it animated. It's like when I saw Pinocchio, the made for TV movie, and it's a real kid. And his nose starts growing, and he starts freaking out about his nose growing. And I still remember the scene.
Well,
it's stuck in my head.
I don't even know which movie you're talking about, the live-action Pinocchio?
Yes, there was a live-action Pinocchio that aired on broadcast television. I'm sure someone can find it and send it to us. And there's a clip where Pinocchio freaks out, and it's a real kid, about his nose growing, and I just remember being traumatized.
Well, the Pinocchio cartoon was, like, the actual Disney movie was traumatic. I mean, do you remember the part where they go to that place, what's called Pleasure Island? And all the kids go there, and they're playing pool, and all of a sudden, they start turning into donkeys screaming.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
at one point, they're going, I want my mom!
Yeah.
And then Stromboli puts them in a cage and takes them away. And they never explain what ends up happening to them. Just like, all these children. Oh, yeah, they just got kidnapped, abducted, and now they're living lives as livestock.
Yeah. It's
kids movie right there.
But no one's going to see this live Aladdin. It's too creepy. Kids are not going to want to see it.
So my son saw the trailer for the new Dumbo, which is Tim Burton. And Tim Burton, by the way, has struck out a lot lately, but he has made some good movies in the past. And apparently my son thinks that Dumbo looks too creepy. And he's like 11. He's like, I don't want to watch that. That Dumbo looks a little creepy. And it does. Like, anytime you try to make these live action cartoon things that involve things that should be cartoons, like genies and elephants that can fly, maybe you just leave best alone. Maybe you just kind of leave that one to the side.
Especially with Aladdin, is that you've made so much money off the movie, and then you did 5,000 straight-to-video Aladdins, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, the Return of Jafar.
Yeah, exactly. Like, at some point you just say, you know what? We have talented people here. We've stretched this out. It's been a TV show straight to video. It's been on movies.
I saw somebody write this, and this is a reference that you might not even get, but somebody said, Will Smith is a genie. Looks like one of those kids from those 90s Fruit Gushers commercials would look like if they never found a cure for their fruit curse.
Yes, I would turn the color of the gusher.
And that's essentially what he ends up being. Well, Ben Affleck is out as Batman, which the timing couldn't be worse because all of a sudden Aquaman is the highest grossing DC film of all time. More than any of the Supermans, more than The Dark Knight. I saw it. It's actually not bad. It's all right. They're making a sequel, a spinoff that has nothing to do with Aquaman. It has to do with the side character or these, like, you know, evil beasts that live under the water. They're making a horror movie spinoff of Aquaman. So now they're saying, well, we got to continue with Justice League stuff. I mean, Wonder Woman was a hit. Aquaman was a hit. For some reason, no one wants to see Ben Affleck as Batman. So he's out, and now they're trying to cast a brand new Batman. And my favorite rumor that's out there,
Jerry Lewis?
Not Jerry Lewis. Isn't he dead?
Well, who knows?
Bringing Michael Keaton back.
My favorite rumor that's out there is Michael B. Jordan, a.k.a. Creed, Apollo Creed's son, in the Rocky movies. You want to know why? Oh, heads will explode. Batman is white. I like my Batman white, just like the comic book. Oh, it's going to be great. Watching people completely lose their mind because they cast an African-American as Batman will be the greatest.
So he'll be in all kinds of franchises.
He could be.
He'll be in, because he was in that one, right?
Well, he was in Black Panther, yeah, but Black Panther. Unfortunately, he doesn't make it past the end of the movie.
Oh, spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, we will be right back. We'll find out what Zolek and Bertrand have on the way.
It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Hey, Woody. Woody.
Academy Award winner Marvin Landau.
Pinocchio!
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I'm a boy.
And the magic of Jim Henson's Creature Workshop.
How about carving your girlfriend?
The Adventures of Pinocchio.
That's not the one. Mine is from like the early 80s.
Oh, okay, because that's kind of the creepy depressoid era, right? Of like,
yeah,
it might have been like a made for TV special, you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
okay,
definitely was.
Real quick, while we have him in the room, something needs to be addressed. So, yesterday, Scott Zolak came in, and on the computer monitor that's in front of him, he noticed that Ted Johnson's Twitter was right. left open, and he started tweeting out some kind of funny stuff like, where are the bolts that fell out of my neck?
And we're 52 because that's my IQ.
Sure. So, have you seen what Ted Johnson just tweeted?
No.
Okay. Ted Johnson just tweeted something out.
Terrifying.
And it says, it's okay, Scott Zolak. I accept your apology. And it is your head, a picture of your face, and a video where your mouth is moving, and this is the sound that comes out of it.
Hi, my name is Scott Zolak. I want to make a public announcement and a sincere apology. Yesterday, I illegally hacked into my good friend and colleague, Teddy Johnson's Twitter account.
False.
I am so ashamed of myself, I don't even like myself right now. I wanted to say to Teddy, I'm sorry. I want to make it up to you, Teddy. Can I rub your feet? Will that make you feel better? I can even use cocoa oil, because I know you like that cocoa oil. Let me know if this will make all of this go away. And I promise to never betray your trust again. I love you, Pookie.
Dude, that's creepy.
Swinging a miss.
That's like some Silence of the Lambs weirdness.
Swinging a miss.
Like, I saw that and I was like, ooh.
That freaking steroids.
That is a missed opportunity.
That voice, it was just like.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
That, man,
who's the guy that rubs lotion on James Harrison?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, Chris Price. Chris Price rubbed lotion on James Harrison's back. Remember?
Okay.
I don't remember that.
Last year. What did like a year ago?
I don't remember
ago?
That.
That was a...
well,
that was creepy. Awesome.
That was not...
like the face is like...
So this is what Ted... This is how Ted's going to do it, huh?
Well,
and did I illegally hack him?
No.
It was open.
I walked in and it's on my computer. What am I supposed to do with that?
I don't know. Double over with laughter.
Let me X out of it. He's like,
I'm still laughing.
He texted me. He was freaking out to Jim. He goes, dude, please tell me it's you. I'm like, yeah, it's me. I deleted it.
Was she a great big fat person?
All right. Well,
put her skin on your back.
Now that
Precious!
That's out of the way.
Precious.
Very, very funny.
Give me the
stuff.
Music, Rich. What's the music from that?
Oh, you mean the Silence of the Lambs music?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's
so good. It's like Sarge. Hey, did you guys even know Sarge was at the Super Bowl?
Yes, we did, because he called in.
Next level.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he called in.
And supposedly, I thought he said he saw me, but I didn't remember seeing him at the postgame party. But I guess he got in Bertrand's face, he was screaming, and Bertrand had to push him out of the way, because, like, Sarge is so amped up.
Really?
We're all trying to figure out.
Really?
I bet the Wonger paid for it.
Did he go with anyone?
Well, he went last minute. Like, you booked your flight last minute. You're there. Never know, baby, you know? And he was in line with the 6,000 people taking his picture with the trophy over the weekend down Gillette. Really? Check out his Twitter.
When we were in Indianapolis, they just had it sitting there.
Yeah.
It was just like in some
case. You can go stand in line, Fred, with a coat.
Doesn't he work in sports for a living?
He's all about the pictures.
He just loves it. All right. Everyone have a fantastic day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.